Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, Michael Cutler, and it's a joy having you join me for this program at the end of every work week, Friday evenings, to rehash and discuss and perhaps find some nugget of truth that's not being covered by most of the mainstream media, especially where immigration, border security, and national security are concerned. And you know, they all do come together, border security, immigration, and national security. We certainly cannot protect our nation from the presence of aliens whose presence in our country would represent a threat to our safety or well-being. And this isn't about xenophobia, and it's not about immigrant bashing. Certainly, there have been a lot of immigrants from all over the world who've made a great difference for our country, who helped to build America. Of course, it was the middle class that provided the opportunities, free enterprise, our constitution, and so forth. But let's face it, people from all over the world contributed mightily to this great pot of stew that we call the United States. But as I also like to point out, the difference between an immigrant and an illegal alien is comparable to the difference between a house guest and a burglar. We all love to have company visit with us, but not when they climb through our bedroom window at 2 o'clock in the morning. And that's the issue. America needs to have an immigration system that really is in our best interest, our meaning we the people. And that's really what has been lacking for decades. And it's not one party or the other. It is both political parties that have gotten us into this mess. And now the task falls to we the people to elect appropriate, real, honest-to-God leaders who will get us out of this mess. You know, it was Ronald Reagan who gave us the disastrous amnesty of 1986. It was Jimmy Carter, the guy who preceded him in the Oval Office, who told immigration employees that they could no longer use the term illegal alien, even though there's nothing insulting or denigrating about the term illegal alien. It simply refers to any person who is not a citizen or national of the United States and whose presence in the country, our country, represents a violation of law. So both sides of the aisle bear the responsibility. George W. Bush sent troops to Iraq after 9/11 and sent Border Patrol agents with them to secure the Iraqi border, left our borders wide open, and in fact, Ramos and Compion, those two valiant Border Patrol agents who got involved with an incident with a drug smuggler on the Mexican border, wound up getting sentenced to 11 and 12 years in jail for shooting at a guy that they believed was armed and posed an immediate threat to their lives. It was at the end of George Bush's administration that they were finally released from prison, their sentences commuted, but they're still feeling the effects of this, and they are both now convicted felons, basically convicted from everything I can see and learn about the case. They were convicted for doing their jobs, and now we have another Border Patrol agent who is apparently going to jail again. There's a gentleman who was arrested and charged with violating the civil rights, supposedly, of an illegal alien. They're now saying that this guy was 15 years old. He was arrested with a backpack containing lots of marijuana, illegally entering the United States with that load of contraband. From the reports I've read, when he attempted to get this guy to submit, then, you know, you're not out in the middle of the night, in the middle of the border, dangerous area. You got a guy with a backpack. It is not easy to determine if the guy you're confronting is an adult or a minor. I have certainly seen 15-year-old kids who were bigger than some adults. I'm not sure about the height of this guy or anything else. But the point is, your immediate concern in law enforcement is you've got somebody with contraband in a dangerous area where you know there have been shootings, where you know there's movement of narcotics. Your concern is to make the arrest, move the guy into a vehicle, contain the situation. He tried to move this guy, and from all accounts, he resisted. And so what this agent did was to lift his handcuffs. The guy's hands were cuffed behind his back to get him to submit. It's what's known in law enforcement as a come-along hold. The idea is it makes the guy uncomfortable, and if he continues to struggle, it's like the old Chinese handcuff. I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember it, but it was a woven tube that you put on your fingers, and the more you would pull, the tighter they would get, the more uncomfortable they were. Well, that's what this idea is. The guy doesn't want to do what you're telling him, So you apply pressure, it's uncomfortable, he will submit and do what you're telling him to do. It's not designed to inflict damage or break bones or assault the guy. It's simply a way of getting somebody you've arrested under control, and that's what it's about. Now, this guy was put on trial by Jimmy Sutton. I see a pattern here. Mr. Sutton also went after Ramos and Compion and other Border Patrol agents, charged him with civil rights violations. He is now facing a 2-year jail sentence. Absolutely astonishing. You can go to the Washington Times. They had an article yesterday, Thursday, October 27th, by an old friend, Jerry Sieper, great reporter. He's been covering the immigration beat for a long time. He's interviewed me on a bunch of occasions. He does a great job, did a real good job in discussing this particular wacky case. So you look at what is now happening in the United States. You look at what is happening with the administration, and again, not just this administration, and you quickly understand that our border is not only out of control, but you have to believe that it's exactly what the political elite of our country, this administration and other members of Congress, both sides of the aisle, it would certainly appear that that's exactly what they want. There's a pilot program starting up, you may not know about it, where trucks from Mexico will now be given authorization to barrel clear through the United States of America. Now, I want you to think about that. The cartels are moving billions of dollars worth of drugs into our country. Trucks originating in Mexico will now have the clearance to come across that border. They'll be treated expeditiously. How scary is that thought? Because, you know, as bad as the drug problem is, and for those of you who are familiar with my background, those of you who aren't, I'll give you a quick rundown. I was an INS agent for 30 years, started my career as an inspector at Kennedy Airport, spent half my career with the Drug Task Force and with DEA intelligence. So I've had an upfront view not only of the immigration crisis, but the narcotics crisis. I've arrested several individuals who were involved with terrorism in the course of my career. I've seen quite a bit of this madness. And there is a nexus between terrorism and narcotics trafficking. First of all, if you look at the tactics of the cartels, they're virtually indistinguishable from terrorist organizations, whether it's the beheadings, whether it's the intimidation. There's been 40,000 people killed in Mexico by the cartels since Felipe Calderon took office just a few short years ago. 40,000. Think of that number. 40,000 Mexican nationals slaughtered. And I do mean slaughtered. Men, women, children, judges, prosecutors, cops, police officers, average folks minding their own business, being in the wrong place at the wrong time and paying for it with their lives. So when you look at that situation, and you know that we've had what are known as special interest country aliens, countries that we associate with the sponsorship of terrorism, entering our country across that dangerous southern border, people from Iran and other such countries, this is a very dangerous situation. There's been a continuing report coming out of ABC and CNN and other news sources about surface-to-air missiles that have apparently gone missing in Afghanistan. Most of the ones that I read about were made in the Soviet Union. These are the so-called man pads. They're designed to be fired from a person's shoulder and take out an airplane. So the obvious concern is that if those missiles got into the United States, they could shoot down our airliners. But they don't have to aim high. They could aim low. Imagine driving by in a truck with one of those missiles, and instead of targeting an airplane, you target an oil refinery or a hospital or a school or a hotel. And according to the initial reports, you're not going to believe this, folks, 20,000 of those missiles are now unaccounted for in Afghanistan, and it may be that the number is even higher. So this is the nature of the threat we face. Drugs coming into America, weapons coming into America, potentially weapons like these shoulder-fired missiles coming into America. Napolitano stands there and says, well, the border's never been more secure. And you really want to say to her, Miss Napolitano, how secure is secure enough? At what point will you be confident that we don't have to worry about what might be coming across that border? And it's astonishing. You know, they created DHS, pardon me, and they call DHS the Department of Homeland Security. I've given it a different name. I refer to DHS as the Department of Homeland Surrender. I mean, how secure are we when you have unknown millions, probably tens of millions of illegal aliens present in our country today by virtue of the fact that they ran the border, they left no record of their entry. There is no reliable way of knowing who they really are or why they're here. If we don't know their names and we don't know their nationalities, that means we don't know if they have criminal histories. We don't know if they're affiliated with terrorist or criminal organizations such as transnational gangs. Just last week, the FBI put out a gang assessment report that paints a worrying picture. There's now, according to the FBI, this isn't some supermarket tabloid, 1.4 million gang members operating inside the United States. Now, they're not all aliens. You've got the motorcycle gangs and gang members who were born in the United States, and thus they are American citizens. But if, let's say, a third of the 1.4 million are illegal aliens, or aliens in any event, you're talking about a population of close to 500,000. 500,000. And guess what the article talked about? How these gang members are infiltrating into law enforcement. They are infiltrating into the military. Some of them, in order to blend in and not be readily recognizable as being gang members, have taken to not getting the traditional tattoos. They're kind of undercover gang members. And they're going into the military for what purpose? To learn how to use weapons, heavy weapons. To learn how to instruct other gang members in the use of the weapons. And the FBI, again, this is an FBI report. This isn't yellow journalism. This isn't some wacky website. This is the FBI saying that these gang members pose an increasingly greater and greater threat to law enforcement and to the civilian population inside the United States. Remember what our troops are doing right now. They're engaging in urban warfare in the Middle East. They're going house to house in Iraq. Well, you're training soldiers in how to do dynamic entries, as it's referred to in law enforcement, into buildings, into houses, into factory complexes. That's exactly the scenario that we have here in the United States. So we are giving our best tactical training, as it turns out, to gang members. They are also recruiting more gang members in probably the best recruiting area that you could go. If you were a terrorist or a gang member, the best place to find people to put to work for your malicious, pernicious goals is in the prisons. And that's exactly what's happening. Prisons are becoming training grounds and recruiting grounds for Al-Qaeda, for Hezbollah, for Hamas, and for the gangs, MS-13, the Mexican cartels, and so forth. This is an incredible risk to our country. And meanwhile, what are we being told? The borders are secure. There's about 7,000 employees of ICE, special agents of ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Their mission is to enforce the immigration laws from within the interior of the United States. So let me lay this out for you. We have about 7,000 ICE agents for all of America. The government claims there's about 12 million illegals in the country. I've seen estimates that run to 30 million or even more. And you've got a force of how many agents? And by the way, over half of these folks aren't doing immigration work. They are doing customs work. Most of their bosses came from legacy customs, not immigration. And for those of you who don't understand the difference, let me tell you quickly. Before they created DHS, immigration was under the Department of Justice because the work that immigration does most closely resembles what they do at the FBI and Labor Department. You're dealing with people coming across that border. And by the way, interesting aside, the Labor Department used to be in charge of immigration up until the Second World War because the concern was that if you let lots of foreign workers into the United States, you're going to drive down wages and worsen working conditions. And that, by the way, according to law, is still illegal, even though the politicians know it, but still do everything in their power to bring in more foreign workers, whether they're here illegally, the Obama administration giving employment authorization to 300,000 illegal aliens who are already facing deportation, unbelievable. And they're doing it with ever-increasing numbers of H-1B visas in the high-tech industries. So you immediately see where that's all going. So we've got a serious problem from that direction. But at the same time, we have a serious problem that we are not protecting ourselves from those folks who would come here, do harm to us, embed themselves in communities across the country because we don't have the manpower. And so that's the reason that immigration used to be under the Justice Department, because of the similarity in the mission between the Bureau and Labor Department. You're dealing with people. Customs dealt primarily with the movement of goods and currency across international borders. In fact, Customs used to be under the Treasury Department because their mission was more closely aligned with what they do at Commerce and at the IRS. They are about collecting duties and tariffs and making certain that certain materials and so forth don't get shipped out of the United States because they might have military uses and that kind of business. So Customs and Immigration, although they were both border agencies, very different missions, very different mindsets. And as some people who still work within DHS have told me, most of the Customs folks are far more concerned with somebody who counterfeits Gucci pocketbooks and Gucci loafers than somebody who cranks out counterfeit passports. So we probably have fewer than 3,000 ICE agents covering the entire interior of the United States. And it's not just about finding illegal aliens. It's about conducting fraud investigations and going after employers who intentionally hire the illegals. It's about working on the Joint Terrorism Task Force and the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force, where I spent my last 10 years of my career, and before that I was assigned to DEA intelligence. So you recognize immediately that immigration does not have the manpower. And, of course, the argument you always hear is, well, we don't have the money to hire these folks that we need for ICE. You know, we could use more agents, but who can pay for it? Well, let me tell you what. Guess how many people right now work for TSA, the Transportation Security Administration? Guess how many employees they have? They have over 60,000, over 60,000 employees. Nearly twice as many employees as the New York City Police Department has. The NYPD is down to 35,000 cops. They used to have 40,000, and now we have our politicians in New York City wringing their hands. Oh, my God, the numbers of police officers has fallen because we can't afford to hire, and they're losing people through attrition and so forth, people retiring. So what's going to happen to the crime rate? We only have 35,000 cops for the five boroughs of the city of New York, you know, Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island, and the Bronx. So 35,000 cops for New York City, 60,000-plus employees for TSA. But where immigration is concerned, you probably have 3,000 agents for the whole country. And it's also estimated that there are at least 5 million visa violators, people who were admitted lawfully into the country with visas or under the visa waiver program, which is another one of these insane programs, aliens from 36 countries lawfully able to enter the United States without first applying for a visa. Forgive me, I think I have Kermit the Frog inhabiting my throat tonight. So you have this going on where you have about 5 million people in our country who violated the terms of their admission, entered the United States through the inspections process, maybe as many as 10 million from what I've heard from some sources inside the government. Again, they have no idea how many people are here, have no idea. If you send a package out by FedEx, they can tell you in excruciating detail, basically when the truck is waiting at a red light before it delivers that package to your house, but where aliens entering our country are concerned, we have no idea. But the government's number is 5 million. Let's take them at their ridiculous word. I'm sure it's a lot more. Guess how many agents are assigned to look for those 5 million? Believe it or not, folks, they have fewer than 300 agents dedicated to searching for 5 million illegal aliens who are visa violators. And by the way, most of the terrorists who attacked us on 9/11 were visa violators. They either overstayed, or they got permission, or they didn't get permission, but they were working illegally, or they did other stuff that would have rendered them illegal. In fact, one of the terrorists, I'm having a senior moment, but just a couple of days before 9/11 was stopped for speeding. You know, if the police had stopped him and turned him over to the immigration authorities, and if they had taken custody of this guy, who knows, 9/11 might not have gone down. So this is national security. And you have the politicians tripping over themselves saying, oh, we're not going to enforce the immigration laws. In New York State, Governor Cuomo said, you know, we're not going to get involved with Secure Communities, a program that's designed to identify criminal aliens, aliens sitting in jail. He said, because I've heard that sometimes they actually look to deport an alien who hasn't been convicted of a crime. Well, wait a moment, Governor. Your responsibility is to uphold the Constitution and enforce the laws of the United States. If the guy is here illegally, then we don't know why he's here. We don't know who he is. We don't know if he's a fugitive who just carried out a heinous crime in another country and he's on the run. And in case you don't believe that that happens, boy, oh boy, I could tell you stories of people I arrested while raiding factories and all other kinds of venues, and suddenly you find out that this guy who you arrested for being an illegal alien is wanted for murder, wanted for prison escape, having been convicted previously of manslaughter, wanted for weapons possession, wanted for narcotics trafficking, wanted for sodomizing a child. If someone conceals their identity, if someone runs our borders and sneaks into the country, it's a violation of the law that's designed to protect America and Americans. Napolitano engages in these ridiculous arguments, and most people fall for the arguments, folks. You've heard the arguments. Oh, it's not a felony to run the border, only if they've been deported before. And by the way, even if they've been deported before and committed a felony by coming back, the Obama administration now says, well, we're not going to go after them unless they've been convicted for other crimes. The immigration laws to President Obama, to Janet Napolitano, to Eric Holder is a big zero. It's a big joke. It's laws to be ignored. I could make the point, folks, that no laws are more important for a country, no federal laws are more important than the immigration laws. And in fact, you can go to my website, michaelcutler.net, or, you know, I write for a great organization called CAPS, Californians for Population Stabilization. And you've seen what's happened to California. We'll get to California in a moment. But if you look at Title 8, United States Code, Section 212, you realize just how important these laws are, because those laws show you clearly who we are supposed to be being keeping out of the United States. What we're supposed to do is we're supposed to keep aliens out of the United States who have dangerous communicable diseases, aliens who have mental illness and perhaps are prone to violence, aliens who are convicted felons, aliens who are human traffickers and alien smugglers and drug traffickers and violent gang members and gun runners and money launderers and terrorists and human rights violators and war criminals and spies. And yes, aliens who are coming to work. And folks, if you or someone you know is out of work and facing foreclosure on the house, it's not inconsequential that somebody who should not even be in our country is taking a job. Because a job is one of the most important things that an American can have, especially in this tough economy. There's no shortage of workers. There is a shortage of jobs. And you listen to the politicians at the debates, and they talk about, well, I created more jobs. No, I created more jobs. And very often these are low-paying jobs. But almost none of these folks will talk about liberating jobs. If, let's say, there are 30 million illegal aliens in the United States today, and if half of them are working, you're talking about 15 million jobs that could be freed up tomorrow if people who should not be working in our country were made to leave our country. And that doesn't mean you have to go out and deport them all. You know, it's remarkable, but the open borders folks, I call them the immigration anarchists, have this great idea. They will argue that we can't possibly deport 12 million, 15 million, 20 million, whatever the number. We can't deport them all. Well, obviously, if you can't deport them all, we have to give them all citizenship. If this isn't the falsest argument you've ever heard, but nobody jumps up and says anything, I want you to stop and think about it. Is that a reasonable argument? If they're here and we can't deport them, then we should make them citizens. So that means if the cops can't arrest all the burglars who are operating in a particular jurisdiction, we should be handing out the keys to the front door of all the houses they would want to break into, because we can't arrest them anyway, so what the heck? This is insanity. The police only stop a very small percentage of people who commit motor vehicle violations. Go on the highway in New York, you sometimes think it's the Grand Prix. The Belt Parkway is a 50-mile-an-hour road, and I got to tell you, if you're doing less than 60 or 65 miles an hour on a clear day, you will get run down by every other vehicle, and some of them are these big, wide SUVs and so forth. It's a free-for-all. And once in a while, someone gets pulled over and gets a ticket. I guarantee you, fewer than 1% of the speeders and the wackos that are on the highway get stopped. Have you ever heard anybody saying, let's get rid of the speed limits because, heck, we're not stopping them anyway, so let's really make it the free-for-all that it is anyway? You'd never hear anybody make that argument, would you? But where immigration's concerned, you have to suspend belief in reality. We've entered the Twilight Zone. We've entered a parallel universe. It's amazing. We can't arrest and deport them all, so let's give them citizenship. If we're really going to do that, I have a great idea for saving money. If it doesn't matter if somebody runs the border, if it doesn't matter to the politicians, doesn't matter to our great leaders, so-called, why are we spending money on the Border Patrol? I'm serious. Why are we spending money on federal inspections facilities around the country? You know, I used to work at JFK when I started. Imagine how much money the government could save if they fired all the inspectors, if they closed down all those inspection stations, got rid of all the computers, didn't have to build all those facilities, didn't have to turn on the lights. We could save tons of money, folks. And all it would require is just get rid of all those workers and say, you know what, if an airplane lands from Europe or Asia or Africa, the Caribbean, wherever, doesn't matter, let's just have them pull into the terminal next to the domestic flights. So, at gate 31, you've got the flight from Atlanta. At gate 32, you've got the flight coming in from San Francisco. And at gate 33, you've got the flight coming in from London. And gate 35, the flight coming in from Liberia, wherever, pick a country. This is insanity. Either it's important that we enforce the laws to keep people out of our country who pose a threat to our safety, especially in this era of concerns about terrorism and transnational gangs, or we just throw up our hands and say, well, we just want to give everybody citizenship anyway, so let's declare anybody born on the planet Earth to be a United States citizen and be done with it. Then we have no more problem with illegal immigration in the United States because there's no longer any illegal aliens. Then you could say, hey, you know what? This is working so well that we could make America crime-free tomorrow morning. And here's my plan, obviously said with my tongue firmly embedded in my cheek. Why don't we declare all the criminal statutes to be null and void? Bank robbery, rape, murder, drugs, whatever. It's a free-for-all. Let's have anarchy. Now, if we have anarchy, everything you do is perfectly okay. There may be a lot of dead bodies out there. We'll have the Wild West all over again. People will shoot people and, you know, what. But if you look at the crime statistics, it'll be a big goose egg. There's no longer any crime because there's no longer any criminal laws to be violated. And really and truly, that's what they're talking about where immigration is concerned. When I was assigned to DEA intelligence, and this was back in 1988, I had a brain spasm. I woke up one day and I said, gee whiz, I'm here to help DEA, but maybe they can help us out. Let's try to figure out just how many illegal aliens are being arrested. Well, you know what? It didn't work out. Because there's no way of tracking it. There's now a bill before the Congress, and I wish I had that in front of me, and we'll talk about it next week. But there's a bill that is now being proposed that would require the government, law enforcement on all levels, to track the status of people arrested, whether they're here as citizens, whether they're here legally, or whether they're illegal aliens. But right now that doesn't exist. They track race, they track height, they track date of birth, color of eyes, you name it, they've got it. But God forbid we should figure out whether these people even belong in the United States, whether they even entered the United States legally. But back then, what I was able to find out was where these folks were born. And I was shocked. In 1988, in New York City, the DEA task force, the Drug Enforcement Administration task force, was arresting 60% of the people, they were arresting, were identified as foreign-born. 60%. Nationally, 30%. We have a war on drugs, and in places like New York, 60% of the people being arrested were foreign-born. And you don't think immigration is a huge problem? The lunacy that goes on with this issue over cheap labor is just as mind-numbing and mind-boggling as was this issue of slavery that existed 150 years ago in the United States. And, you know, when you talk about the need to secure America's borders, to enforce America's immigration laws, no one is saying, you know, bar the door, Katie, don't let anybody in. All that we're saying is, let's make sure that we know who we're giving access to. Let's make certain that we don't let people in who will do harm to us. And then you hear, oh, my God, you hate people who are from other countries. You're xenophobic. Or as Arlen Specter told me when I testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee, and I kid you not, and the video might even still be online. He accused me and people like me of being exophobic. Whew, it takes your breath away. Exophobic. I guess I'm afraid of the letter X. We won't even talk about the letter W. God knows. But he actually used the term exophobic and then corrected himself and said xenophobic. This isn't about xenophobia, folks. And if you think about it, to say that because I don't like the idea that people who are vulnerable and desperate are easy to exploit, and that's why the employers hire them, and I saw that exploitation firsthand for about 8 or 9 years. I was in the squad that raided factories and other employment locations. What we kept on seeing was horrific exploitation. People who were being swindled out of their wages, people who very often were being made to work in factories where the conditions were literally and figuratively hellish. Hot summer day with the steam presses going, they were making garments. Of course, those factories are all in Asia somewhere now or the third world. But back then, you had people toiling away, and it looked like the Triangle Shirt Factory where all those young women perished over 100 years ago. The escape routes were all blocked. The windows were shut. There was no air conditioning. A couple of filth and encrusted fans were blowing away. And the temperature in that room where I was when we raided this place, and there were a bunch of them like it, was well over 100 degrees with 100% humidity. You can't even begin to imagine what that was like. It was horrific. So when you say we don't want this to continue, oh, you just hate immigrants, baloney. That's the equivalent of thinking back to what went on when that insanity of slavery, and I can't imagine anything more degrading than slavery. And if somebody stood up and said, I won't have a slave, could you imagine someone saying, oh, I guess you don't like black people? You don't want to own a slave? This is, again, one of those insane, false arguments. But you know what? Part of the problem is too many Americans fail to stand up and tell the truth, fail to say, wait a moment, you need to be confronted for making such scandalous remarks. But nobody wants to take the courage, to take the bull by the horns and say what needs to be said. People that make these scurrilous remarks about those of us who understand the exploitation, understand the dangers to our country, we need to grow a spine, not confrontationally, but we need to stand our ground and say, no, this is nonsense. And by the way, America still welcomes more immigrants than all the other countries on this planet combined. Last year, more than 1.1 million aliens were admitted to our country with green cards. That means they are immediately on the pathway to United States citizenship. That is more, to my knowledge, than all of the other countries on this planet combined. So it's not about barring the door and not letting anybody in. It's simply about being responsible as a responsible homeowner or an apartment renter would do, and you look through the peephole to make certain that the people that you allow in don't mean you harm, won't do harm from the perspective of crime or terrorism, the economy, or American jobs. Charity begins at home. By the way, if you want to join the conversation, please, you're welcome to do so. I'd love to have you call in. The phone number to call is 310-982-4145. 310-982-4145. Again, I'm Mike Cutler. This program you're listening to is the Michael Cutler Hour. And as a retired INS agent, I spent 30 years with the old INS. I've acquired a perspective that you're not going to hear too often from too many of the folks who get out there and talk about immigration, but in reality, maybe they did a study. You know, they sat at a desk and they crunched some numbers, and now they have an opinion. My opinions are based on what I observed up close and in person in 30 years out on the street. And there's a world of difference between the real world and the hypotheticals of the folks who do these studies. And let me tell you why studies are also a problem. It's about where you get your information from. Right now, there is another problem, and Lamar Smith, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, has pointed it out. The administration is coming up with all kinds of numbers of aliens who have been removed from the United States. They use the word removed. We used to use the word deported. Now they use the word removed. And I think it's been done for a reason, because there are different ways an alien can be made to leave the United States. You can, as an immigration officer, offer an alien who's here illegally the opportunity to leave voluntarily. They generally pay their own way. They pay for a ticket. We put them on an airplane, and we wave goodbye. If that person comes back, it does not count as a crime, because that person is not formally deported. They haven't been before a judge, or sometimes a judge will give them that same option. But the reentry does not result in their committing a felony. An alien who leaves voluntarily and then returns illegally is not looking at criminal charges for illegal reentry. An alien who has been formally deported is committing a felony that may carry with it a maximum of 2 years in jail or possibly 20 years in jail, depending on whether or not that alien has criminal convictions. But an alien who's given the option of voluntary departure is not facing a criminal indictment for unlawful reentry. Obviously, lots of aliens, when you catch them, will say, okay, I'll go home. And what they're thinking of is, yeah, I'll go home. I'll spend a couple of weeks with my relatives, my friends back in my home country, and I'll sneak back into the United States. And even if they're caught, you cannot arraign them and charge them with unlawful reentry. You know, we've got a caller on the line. Let's see who's calling in. Hi, you're speaking to Mike Cutler. Who's this?
Yes, I'm Mr. Colorado.
What's your name?
Mr. Colorado.
Mr. Colorado, how are you this evening, sir?
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
The question is about immigrants.
Okay.
Well, I think that both parties kind of sold the country out when it comes to immigrants. For me, being an African-American man and seeing that them blue-collar jobs are being become cheap labor jobs, and for both parties,
you're right,
Democrats and Republicans, to not bring this to attention when it comes to African-American and poor whites who need them jobs. Because when I'm driving down the streets and I'm seeing construction work being done by majority of, because right here in Colorado, and I used to live in San Diego, and even jobs like McDonald's, Burger King's, places like that, the jobs that my kids used to get after school jobs, they not in the hand of grown Mexicans. A kid can't even go to McDonald's and get a job because they hiring all these grown illegal agents for them jobs. And I don't think that's right.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, my dad was a plumber. He was a construction worker. And, you know, we hear this lie, well, the illegals do the work Americans won't do. Let me tell you something. Americans are harder working than anybody else.
They started with George Bush when I used to hear him get on. Well, these are the jobs that America don't want. I used to hear my leader say that. How can you say that America don't want to be in structural work? That's who built the country, America. So cheap labor came over here, and y'all pushed that lie. How much money do we owe Mexico that we got to give up all jobs to these illegal aliens, people who's coming over here? And then when you put them in positions, like right in San Diego. No, I'm not saying. No, right in Oceanside, California. Spanish people have two big grocery stores. Biggest is Safeway. I mean, they so big, but when you walk through there, you ain't going to see no America working in there. But they working in every job that America got. They ain't going to hire nobody but Spanish people. They ain't going to give them jobs to nobody. If you have a community, when my soldiers come home from Iraq, and they can't find them a low-income apartment because they're in the hand of all these people who supposed to be illegal here in this country, and they taking apartments, they taking McDonald's jobs from kids, they taking instruction work from African Americans and white Americans. And, I mean, it's a sad day in this country that both parties can't come together and work for America no more. They got to always can't put their... I mean, can't look at each other and try to work for this country. They're too busy fighting, and our country becoming the laughing stock of the world because everybody can't sit across the table and talk to each other. And I think both parties need to get a grip because they both looking like they stuck on stupid. And we don't owe Mexico nothing because they bringing drugs over here. They filling up our penitentiary with their crime. I mean, when we spending all this money to take care of when they go to jail, and then we losing our jobs, we losing everything. I'm disgusted with all this. I'm so damn mad. I don't know what to say. And it's a sad day in this country because this will be the greatest country in the world, and we got two leaders who can't sit across the table and take care of America no more. When you see them Tea Party people and these 99% people, they all mean the same to me because they all tied all this bullshit.
You're 100% right. You know, the point you're making is very well taken. You know, by the way, what kind of work do you do?
Well, I was doing construction, and I lost my job to that. And then I had a truck that I used to load people. I can't load right now because I'm being on the bid of somebody who's going to come over here and change the way we can live in America because they want to come over here with this cheap labor and on the bid me and on the bid all the other people who trying to load, and we can't get jobs no more because we're being on the bid because the companies that hire them, they don't care about America. But my soldiers over there dying for them to have a country in this country, but you can't stand up for the American people, so you'd rather go for cheap labor like we owe Mexico something. No, we don't owe Mexico a goddamn thing.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's not just Mexico, by the way, and it's not just Latinos. We're getting illegal aliens from every country on this planet.
From every country, I understand that. Asian,
yep.
My mother was in a nursing home. And I was sitting up talking to some nurses inside, white Americans and black Americans. I'm asking them, like, they telling me, oh, we can't get jobs in dentist office and stuff like that. We can't get jobs working in clinics. We got to work at a nursing home. And, you know, these nurses who went to school and spent all this money to become the greatest nurse that America could have. But, no, they don't want the women who took out $20,000 and $30,000 alone to become a great nurse.
Now
they
let me ask you a question.
The ones who come over here for 6 months, and that's who getting the job. The ones who go to school for 6 months don't even know how to work a goddamn needle.
I understand the anger you're feeling, but I've got a question for you. Have you ever said what you just said on my program to your elected congressman?
Yes, I have.
Who's your congressman?
Well, who? Mike, whatever his name. Yes, I have. But, you know, Colorado,
I'm glad you do.
So many...
But you see, here's the problem. And I appreciate your anger and your passion because I feel the same way you do. You know, I'm a New Yorker. On 9/11, the ashes landed on my house. My neighbors were killed.
Yeah.
And this was preventable if Bill Clinton had learned the lessons of the 93 terrorist attacks that were carried out on our soil on his watch. It's both parties. You're completely right. George W. Bush sent our troops to Iraq and sent Border Patrol agents.
We got to look what Reagan did. He opened the border up for them.
I agree with you.
And
he gave amnesty to almost 4 million illegal aliens, which started this whole nonsense.
4 million brought us to 13 million.
So now, and what you're saying is right, as far as I'm concerned. Yes, some of the wackos that are out there protesting are professional malcontents and so forth, but you can't dismiss them all. And I think Herman Cain is making a big mistake because there are among the people protesting people who had jobs, who've lost their jobs, who can't support themselves or their families. And the level of contempt that the politicians have for the average American is outrageous. And I'll tell you what the problem is. When I was a federal agent, I wasn't allowed to take as much as a cup of coffee from anybody. The politicians,
right,
on the other hand, take money with both hands from anybody who will give them the money. We get the best government money can buy. Would you disagree with me?
No, I don't. This is how I look at the politics, especially the Democrats and Republicans. I call them both male prostitutes, because when you put money in their pocket, they sell the people out who vote them. You're working for people who put money in your country, in your pocket. You ain't working for the people who voted for you. You're working for the people and made your pocket. So to me, you're the male prostitute, because that money took
and
you
against
the
country. And you've got female members of Congress, too. Let's remember that.
They're
just prostitutes.
Where they hoes, too.
They're
all
just prostitutes.
They just prostitutes. All the ones who taking that money selling this country out, they ain't nothing but a bunch of hoes.
But let me ask you a question. The civil rights movement finally was supposed to bring justice to the African-American community. Can you explain to me why the members of the Black Caucus talk about illegal immigration and civil rights in the same breath? Doesn't that infuriate you?
That pissed me the hell off. Because, see, I look at it like this. When I walk, when I hear them saying that Mexico, I mean, anybody who came over here illegal, they ain't fought for shit in this country. Civil rights, them people had to fight. They had to make a difference. These people ain't fought for nothing, but they coming over here getting awarded for something that they didn't even have to fight for. When you come over here illegal and we catch you illegal, we supposed to lock your ass up and send you back where you come from. So how can you put that with civil rights? Them people got bit by dogs and they got holes down. These people snuck their ass over here in my country where I pay my taxes, and
yep.
They getting greeted with their arms wide open and taking jobs from poor whites, poor blacks, poor people who in America who – that's why we got 19% of African America in our community can't work, because them labor jobs that – Mexico and all these other people who came on here took them the jobs who got us out here doing drugs, smoking crack, because we can't think, because everything that was in our community is gone, and the jobs that were left in our community, they're in the hand of a bunch of Spanish people and illegal people.
Well, you're not going to get me to argue with you. And I'm glad that you're making the phone calls. You need to make sure that as a matter of routine that both of your senators hear from you, that the White House hears from you, that these folks who are running for the presidency hears from you. Because what's happening right now is far too many Americans have sat on their rear ends for far too long and not said anything to anybody.
They ain't saying nothing. This ain't making no sense. When I look out, a lady downstairs for me, a white lady, she's scared to come out her house because she see a Spanish dude, ain't on the lease, running out his apartment, going out there selling drugs right in front of her door. She been living this property for 30-some years. She's on the fixed income, and she afraid to come out her apartment because she could look at her woman and see this dude walk up to a damn car and sell drugs. Okay? What's really going on? They act like Spanish people, illegal people don't sell drugs, that illegal people don't drink. So you're doing a background check on me, but what about the people? Okay, you know who the new welfare frog is? It's these illegals coming over here shitting out all these goddamn babies, having all these babies, and my tax dollar got to take care.
Well, again, I hear your anger and your frustration. I don't think you're alone in this, I will tell you, but it's time that the American people made their voices heard. That's why I started this radio program, because I will tell you, I've been on TV about 300 times. Lately,
mm-hmm.
immigration is almost never discussed on television. It's being swept under the rug. Let's keep it quiet. Maybe people will forget about it, because it's all about corporations maximizing their profits, banks getting a chunk of the action, because when people wire money out of the country, and by the way, do you know that every year between $100 to $200 billion gets wired from the United States back to the countries that send these people
yes.
here, including Mexico
yes.
and elsewhere?
Yes.
That's money that's not spent in America, it's not invested in America, and not earned by Americans or people with green cards. This is earned by foreign workers who shouldn't be here.
Well, a guy told me I was buying some tires, and he was, I guess he thought I was against what was going on. He going to tell me, a Spanish guy, he going to say, oh, all governors sent us over here to destruct this country like this. All governors got us over here because they want Mexico, they want California back, they want Arizona back. They said them is their states. America tricked them out of it, and that's why they so deep inside all them states. So, and Texas and all them states. They feel that if they come over here deep enough, because when I saw all them people out here marching on my government, talking about they want equal opportunity, hold them up. You're not illegal. So how the hell you can get equal opportunity? I say, if I mess up on the law and do so, I'm going to go to jail. So how the hell you can sneak over here in this country, steal a job, take people's Social Security number, go get jobs on the other people's name that belong to America, messing up their credit, messing up, and you getting slapped on the wrist. Like a friend of mine, she got caught drunk driving. They going to charge her $500, but when they catch the Spanish people because they're illegal, they going to tax them $200 and put their ass back on the road. What kind of shit is that? Excuse my language. I'm mad as hell.
I hear your voice, and again, I don't blame you. But I do want to be clear. It's not because someone is Latino. It's because they are aliens who are illegally present in our country. And I want you to know something. When I was the Marine Intelligence Officer for 3 years, 90% of the people I arrested were Greek seamen who were here illegally. They had jumped ship. They were working on the vessels, and they disappeared, and they were working illegally in the country. It's about the difference between citizens and non-citizens. That's the distinction. Mm-hmm. I just want to be clear on that.
But could I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
When I was a kid living in Chicago, I remember I could walk into jobs like McDonald's, after school jobs like McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's,
right.
Church's Chicken, all these fast food jobs. Go in them now. Guess who working them? Grown-ass Mexicans. The babies on kids can't even go in there and get a damn job, after-school job. They can't do nothing to make them get ready for the future like they did me when I was a kid. When I was a sophomore in high school, I had an after-school job. I had that. But you can't even see these kids get them jobs no more.
No,
they
I know.
They had a bunch of grown-ass Mexicans.
No, you're
sorry.
Right.
That's how it is in Colorado.
And the problem is that when kids can't find work and they're out there, you know, they wind up getting in trouble on top of everything else. Look, this is hurting America on so many levels. But I'm telling you that what Americans need to do, and this is really important, is to get their act together, get a hold of these elected representatives and make it clear to them. You're either with us or you're against us. I don't care what party you belong to. The idea of voting a party line is bull. I'm registered as a Democrat. I can't tell you the last time I voted for a Democrat. These idiots need a GPS because they have no idea where they're going. But it's both parties. It's not just the Democrats. It's not just the Republicans. And I think you're completely right. Whether it's the demonstrators on Wall Street or the Tea Party, you've got a lot of very angry Americans who have woken up to the fact that they have been betrayed by the people who allege to represent them.
Exactly. So I'm not mad at the Tea Party. I'm not mad at the 99%. And I don't care about you getting, if you get rich, good. That's what America is all about.
You bet.
But my thing is this. Yes, the people who rich, they should be rich. But the ones who over here selling our country out for this cheap labor is not the thing to do. Because when my soldiers come home, when I was living in Oceanside, California, and I was listening, you know, I had a few friends that was Marines. When they come home and they can't find an apartment because all the apartments in the hand of a bunch of people over here are illegal who taking places. These guys over here getting their leg cut off, getting their arm cut off, fighting for this country. And when they come home, they can't even find a proper goddamn place to stay because they in the hand of a bunch of people over here are illegal who don't even have proper ID, but they can walk up and get an apartment, but let me go apply for an apartment. They won't know who the hell I am, and I got IDs.
Well, all I could say is that, you know, look, I appreciate your anger, and I'm glad that you called in.
I
hope you continue to listen to the program. You're always welcome
to
call in. And go to my website, by the way, michaelcutler.com, or you can go to capsweb.org, and you're certainly welcome to check out the material there. You can forward it to your friends. My goal is to get as many of our fellow citizens to understand the issue that we're dealing with right now, because we're not getting the truth from the mainstream media. We're not getting the truth.
No. They don't know how to tell the truth.
No,
they
don't. And that's the reason that I created this program. What I also ask you to do is let your friends know about my program. I'm on every Friday night from 7 until 8 because my goal is to educate our fellow Americans so we can go out there armed with information, not the BS that you hear on the mainstream news media.
Exactly.
And then you can go after the politicians and say, enough is enough.
The DMV office right here in Colorado, you go inside that office. Majority of the people is working that is Spanish people. How the hell they can work for the DMV office? And you
well,
tell
in order to do that, they're likely U.S. citizens. And again, I want to make this clear. This isn't about whether someone's Latino or black or white. If you're an American, you're an American.
But when I walk in these jobs as an Africa or America, and I walk to hotels, I go to the DMV office, I go to restaurants,
right.
I go to everything. And when I'm talking about the West Coast, I don't know how it is on New York. On the West Coast, majority of them jobs is in the hand of Asian people, illegal people from Mexico.
Well, but again, let's be very careful. If they are United States citizens, they are entitled to those jobs. That's the issue.
If they're American citizens, yes, they are targeted to them jobs. I'm not saying they shouldn't work, but if the ones over here are illegal taking them jobs, and the new company knowing they are illegal and hiring these people, and they get my kids
no,
a
then,
job,
then you're
done,
then you're right.
They,
but I'm just telling you that motor vehicles. Are supposed to be the DMV is supposed to hire U.S. citizens or resident aliens.
Well, they fold the hound, but why when you walk inside, them the only people you see working there, in all the DMV offices in Colorado, majority of them are Spanish people. Why I can't go in there and see Americans working there? Why I can't
but
see
again,
Spanish
they may,
and Americans
they may,
working there?
But they most likely are Americans.
They might be American, but don't white people need jobs? Don't black people need jobs?
No, no,
so
no.
Why
I,
they just
I,
hire
I,
all American Spanish people then?
Well,
it all
that
looks
I, I'm not sure what their hiring practice is, but I'm just telling you that that job is probably taken by an American, whether he's a Latino or not. You know, I'm not sure what the criteria is for hiring, but they have to be here legally to work for the Department of Motor Vehicles.
Well,
and most likely
well,
they should be
they
U.S.
They might
citizens.
Be illegal, but when I go in there and them the only people who I'm seeing working, they ain't the only people from America.
No, I understand. Well, listen, we're getting close to the end of the program. I really appreciate your calling in.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, have a good weekend, and tell your friends about the show, and I hope to hear from you again.
All right.
Well, you know, there you have it, folks. Here is this guy, Mr. Colorado, I guess. I guess he wants to be anonymous, which is cool. That's fine. But you could certainly hear the anger in his voice. I think a lot of people are disgusted. We do have to be careful that this doesn't become about race because immigration laws have nothing in them about race. We've got to be real clear about this. If you look at the immigration law, there's absolutely nothing in there about whether or not somebody is black or white, Latino, or what the religion is. That is not a factor. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is that the politicians are turning it into a race thing. You know, they make it sound as though, well, this is purely about people who are Latinos or purely about some other group. That's not what the laws are about. The only distinction that the immigration laws make, and this is important to bear in mind, is whether or not somebody is, in fact, a United States citizen or not. That's it. And that's what the term alien relates back to. Any person who is not a citizen or national is an alien. It's not an insult. It doesn't denigrate anybody. It's simply a way of differentiating citizen from non-citizen. Virtually every other country on the planet uses comparable language. Mexico uses the term extranjero. And hang on one second. We have another caller, I believe. Hello.
No, I was just listening to the show.
Okay, that's fine. Cool. Okay. Sorry. So you know, and the point that this gentleman made is well taken. We aren't providing opportunities for kids who come out of school to get jobs. Very important. It's a good way for a kid to put something on a resume. You know, we always had that experience. I know I certainly did. You can't get a job until you have some experience on your resume, and you can't get something on your resume without experience, so it's kind of that vicious cycle. And very often those jobs were the first kind of work that a kid getting out of school could have. It's something to put on a resume to show that that person has responsibility and understands what's expected. And we are preventing that from happening. And what we're doing is increasingly attracting more and more people to come to America and violate our laws, violate our borders, and it creates a threat to national security. It creates a nightmare. It impacts just about every aspect of our society. Immigration isn't a single issue. It's a singular issue because it has such an incredible impact on every facet of America. Every challenge and every threat that we face is made worse by the fact that our borders are wide open and we have millions of people in our country without any way of knowing with certainty who they are. And that's why when you look at Sonoma County, California, they are now allowing police in Sonoma County, believe it or not, are allowing the Mexican matricula card to be used as official ID. And in fact, there's a guy by the name of Stephen McGraw, who had been an FBI chief of intelligence, testified before the House Immigration Subcommittee, where I've done a bunch of hearings as an expert witness, and he talked about the national security risk of allowing the Mexican matricula card to be used as reliable identification. In fact, people have been found from other countries carrying that card, and it had been apparently issued to them by Mexican officials. Lunacy is being perpetrated on so many levels where immigration is concerned, and that's something that we, the people, need to speak out against. We're at the top of the hour. I'm going to stay on for another couple of minutes just to wrap things up, and you're welcome to join me and stay with me. But I do appreciate those of you who are out there listening to this program. I would urge you to go to my website, michaelcutler.net. If you send me an email, I'll be glad to put your name on a list where I will email you, let you know about upcoming appearances and commentaries. Because as I told the gentleman who called in, ever since 9/11, I decided that as somebody who has that firsthand experience, having worked for the old INS for 30 years, that I needed to provide my perspectives to all of you folks out there. Because it's not enough to call your politician and yell at them. And boy, it's enjoyable to yell at some of these dim bulbs. But you really need to be armed with the facts, because they do play the game. They talk about creating a virtual fence, and they spend $1 billion. And so many people probably said, oh, wow, my congressman is great. He just voted to spend $1 billion to secure the border. And people don't understand that what they got for that $1 billion was worthless. I was on Lou Dobbs so many times, and one time I believe it was Lou who asked me, what do you think of the virtual fence? And I said, well, that virtual fence will stop virtually nobody. And lo and behold, the GAO comes along last year, or actually earlier this year, and confirmed what I had feared. The virtual fence stopped virtually nobody. But we squandered well over $1 billion, and we wasted years of time, time that we can't afford to waste. You know, we are at risk. We are at risk from having terrorists enter our country, criminals entering our country. Every day when people come across that border, there is no way of knowing who is among those many illegal aliens who charge the border. It not only hurts us economically, it not only causes our hospitals to go broke and jam the emergency rooms with people who have no health insurance and are using the emergency room as their health care provider, it also impacts the schools. The Congressional Budget Office says it costs 10 to 20% more to try to educate a child who's not fluent in the English language. You can't name a challenge or a threat that we are confronting as a nation today in this particularly difficult era that is not greatly exacerbated, made worse by the failures of this immigration system. And then you hear John Huntsman say, well, if he becomes president, he's going to talk to the governors of the four border states, and, you know, your head wants to explode. Because there is a northern border, there are the coastal regions, you have to worry about ships coming into the United States, you have to worry about people who are lawfully admitted through ports of entry. I love to tell people that any state that has a seaport or an international airport is every bit as much a border state as are the states to be found along our nation's borders. But here's this guy, Jonathan Huntsman, a man who had been a governor, a man who's apparently been a successful businessman, who either doesn't know better or thinks he can hoodwink people, saying, well, if I become president, I'll talk to the governors of the four border states. I guess the heck with the other 46 states. You know, you don't even know what to think at this point. We hear people saying, well, once we secure the border, then we can give citizenship. No, you can't give citizenship to illegal aliens. You don't know who they are. Why would you want to provide lawful status to people who can't prove who they are? That's what that means when the other side says they're undocumented. Yeah, and then I talk about how undocumented is just a term they use to avoid the term illegal alien. They don't want clarity. And I've raised this issue that undocumented means that there's no way of knowing who they are. They don't have documents. They don't have proof of their identities. So now they've come up with a new word. It's the name game. The new word du jour is unauthorized. So we're no longer illegal aliens. They're not undocumented. Now they're unauthorized. They're here. It's okay, but they lack permission. They didn't say, may I. They do everything in their power to minimize the fact that they are trespassers, that they are here illegally, that they have violated the line of defense that we call our borders. And it's about using deceptive language. And, a long time ago, I was on a radio program, and I started to play this game of the words, and we'll try to end on a little bit of levity, I guess, or frustration. And by the way, please go to my website, michaelcutler.net, or you can go to capsweb.org, C-A-P-S, capsweb.org, California for Population Stabilization. But I was on this radio program, and I said, if there's a problem with the term illegal alien, and we're going to use Orwellian newspeak, then why don't we do it in other areas also? For example, let's start to refer to rapists as overeager suitors. And maybe a drunk driver should be called a sobriety-challenged motorist. A murderer could be an unlicensed executioner. And you get the idea. The idea is that words do have impact, but words also have meaning. And when we talk about somebody who's an alien in our country, it's not an insult. It simply means they are not a citizen or a national. And my understanding is that we've hit the 7 billion mark for world population. That's a staggering number, 7 billion. And many of these people, of course, are living horribly. Probably over half the world lives below the poverty line. So that means there's 3.5 billion who would love to come here. But what's remarkable, if any of those people came here, they would all be called aliens. The only people who aren't aliens are the roughly, I think we're up to 310 million American citizens. We are not aliens in this country, but you know what? If we go to another country, if we go to Canada or Mexico or England or wherever, we are going to be referred to as aliens in those countries. And I'll tell you what, those countries will not apologize for using that terminology. Mexico builds a fence to separate itself. You know what? I've got a call. Let me just take this call. Hi, you're talking to Mike Cutler. Who's this?
Hi, Michael. This is Susan Smith with Nebraskans Advisory Group.
Hi, Susan Smith. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Happy Friday. Thank you for calling.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Thanks for this conversation. The one thing that makes these illegal aliens, and that is the term that our federal immigration laws describes a person who is in this country unlawfully, so it's not a derogatory term. And certainly the pro-illegal alien groups don't like the word because it describes them exactly as what they are, illegal aliens. It's not
right.
A warm and fuzzy term.
But it also gives clarity, and they understand that if they have to deal with the hard reality of the situation, they can't win the argument.
Well, right, and that's what makes many of their studies inaccurate because they don't distinguish between illegal alien and a legal immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the kind of confusion they want to put to their studies.
Oh,
but,
absolutely.
Barack Obama had that backdoor amnesty through executive policy and through ICE and Department of Homeland Security, giving backdoor amnesty to these illegal aliens. And now they're competing with the 25 million Americans who are unemployed. So if you could maybe just talk to that, I'd appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, Susan. I appreciate the call. We'll stay on for a bit. We have the time reserved for a while longer, so why don't we keep going? There was a gentleman who called in. He didn't want to be identified by name. He's an African-American, said his name was Mr. Colorado, and he's probably still listening. I hope he is. But he was furious, and he was talking about how he had done construction work and lost his job to the day laborers. Now he's a truck driver losing work to illegal aliens. There's a pattern here. And what makes me so angry is the idea that the labor laws are an integral part of immigration. And, in fact, I guess you weren't with me earlier, and I had made the point that the Labor Department used to enforce and administer the immigration laws prior to the Second World War, because back then the greatest generation, as we now refer to them so nostalgically as being, and indeed they were, understood that a massive influx of foreign workers into the United States would worsen working conditions, throw Americans out of work, and lower wages. And what's so astonishing to me, there was a hearing held by Chuck Schumer, chairman of the Senate Immigration Subcommittee, and he brought in none other than Alan Greenspan, the architect of this economic meltdown that we're experiencing. And in fact, Fox News did a pretty thorough piece about how Greenspan caused so much of this havoc. But Greenspan had the chutzpah, as we say in Brooklyn, to stand there and talk about how we have made a privileged elite out of Americans with skills and education. Swear to God, it's exactly what he said. We've made a privileged elite out of these Americans who have skills. There's too much money going to these people. We have to have equality or better equality or close to equality between Americans with education and no education, skills and those skills. And his solution is to make American workers compete with foreign workers for their jobs so we wouldn't have to pay them as much. And I will tell you, I watched this particular hearing on the Internet. You can go to my website, michaelcutler.net. It's one of the articles I have. If it's difficult to find, I'll be glad to forward it to you. Everyone should see this video. Because here is Greenspan, and by the way, I was on a radio show shortly after, and I was so outraged. I said, what did you think of Greenspan testifying? I said, well, it was the first time somebody was before a congressional hearing while suffering from rigor mortis. I hate this guy. I'll be very honest. I make no bones about it. Because he just sat there, and his whole focus was on why are we allowing Americans to make so much money? He wasn't talking about the corporate executives who get $120 million a year, and when they screw up, they go out the door with a golden parachute. I did a little single-engine flying as a kid. I understand aerodynamics. I'm still trying to figure out the aerodynamics of a golden parachute. But his focus wasn't on the mega wealthy who rip off the corporations. His focus was, why do we basically have a middle class? And I wrote a commentary for Caps recently, where I called it Ellis Island and Other Myths. You know, we're told constantly America was built by immigrants. Well, it was. My mother was an immigrant. My dad's parents were immigrants. Certainly, this rich tapestry that we have from all over the world has enriched our country. But the reason they were successful wasn't simply that you open your doors and have the whole world descend upon a country. When that happens, you usually get chaos. What made America America was the middle class, that with an education, with the acquisition of trade or a skill, with hard work, with a little bit of creativity, maybe a little bit of old-fashioned luck thrown in for good measure, anybody could write the next success story. And I had written in my article that to simply ascribe America becoming the superpower because of immigrants is as crazy as saying that if hundreds of people got on board a cruise ship, that the cruise ship would ultimately get to its destination because all the people were sitting in those rooms. In point of fact, the reason the cruise ship gets to its destination is because the ship is seaworthy, the engines are working properly, the fuel tanks are filled, and the crew members on board know what they're doing and are able to guide that ship successfully from one port to the other. So it's not the passengers that make the cruise ship work, it's the leadership of that ship. For America, it was free enterprise, it was the Constitution, and it was the ability that anybody could become successful through education and hard work. Would you disagree with what I'm saying?
No, I absolutely agree with what you're saying. And it doesn't help when our labor head of labor, the Labor Department, Solis, signs a partnership agreement with South American countries saying that we are going to protect your illegal aliens.
Isn't that a betrayal of unbelievable proportions?
Absolutely it is, and what I don't understand is that Barack Obama has done many things that a leader should not do of his country, and he's bypassed Congress, and so why is no one in Congress taking action against him to stop it?
I can't agree with you more. It's one executive order after another. It's government by fiat. He is now conducting a government as though there was no Congress. We have gone from the checks and balances of the legislative, judicial, and executive branches to an executive branch that runs roughshod on this whole country, and these nimrods in Congress are just staring at each other. You know, I've been watching Fast and Furious. I don't know if you've been following this investigation.
Yes, I have.
And, you know, I had a desk at ATF for a number of years. I was part of OCDEF, the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force. And, in fact, Fast and Furious was an OCDEF investigation. And I can tell you that I worked very closely with the men and women of the ATF, and they were every bit as professional as the folks at the FBI or DEA or the city state police. We all worked together. Every time we got a firearm off the street from some drug dealer or some bad guy, we had a little celebration because we knew this is a gun that's not going to kill somebody. The idea that ATF would put fully functioning, high-powered weapons into the hands of the Mexican cartels, knowing where the guns were destined, leaves my head spinning. And you know, what's so remarkable the Democratic Party. I'm a registered Democrat, but over time I've become a lot more of an adherent to the idea of the Second Amendment, that law-abiding citizens should be able to defend themselves. But the Democratic Party, for the most part, I mean, there are some, you know, Democrats that aren't that strong on it, but most Democrats are very strong on gun control. Isn't it ironic and counterintuitive that a Democrat administration would go so far off the wall and making certain that guns fall into the hands of the bad guys, unless the goal was to vilify gun dealers to the point that they could crack down on firearms?
Well, yes, I think that's very interesting. I had not connected those dots, but that makes sense, because socialism cannot fully take over until the citizens no longer have access to the guns.
Well, you know, I'm Jewish, and it's funny because I used to argue with my mother-in-law because she was very big on gun control. You know, the Democratic Party, there's a Kool-Aid about firearms, that guns are evil, and it's not the guns that are evil, it's the people who wield those guns. If they're evil, then those guns are used for evil purposes, just like a drunk driver behind the wheel of a car. You know, there's a world of difference. But, you know, we had this argument one day, and she said to me, "My gosh, you know, you carry a gun." I said, "Yes, I'm a federal agent." And we had this big discussion, and finally I said, "Why is it that so many Jews were slaughtered during the Holocaust? I was named for my grandmother, in fact, who died in the Holocaust. Why didn't the Jews rise up? I mean, I know if death is imminent, I'm not going alone." You know, that's my attitude.
Mine
and she
too.
Said, "Well, we had no choice. We didn't have guns, and they did." And I said, "Then why are you so in favor of gun control?" And she had no answer. And you could see where this was like an epiphany. Suddenly, the light bulb went on. This is the disconnect that we see with so many of our people, Susan, that there are people out there who just say things and they don't think about what it is they're saying. Just like that phrase, "We were a nation built by immigrants." Yes, we were, but is it simply the influx, the massive numbers of people coming across the border that made us successful? Of course not. What made us successful is that Ellis Island was a quarantine station. How many times have you heard the open borders crowd bemoan the fact, lament the fact, "Oh, my God, they've closed Ellis Island"? Do you know what would happen if you tried to reopen Ellis Island? The ACLU, La Raza, Mecha, LULAC, and all the other usual suspects would probably go berserk demanding that it be shut down. Ellis Island was not unlike Alcatraz. It was built on an island where you could not get access to the mainland unless they wanted you to. You follow my point?
Oh, absolutely.
But you know, we hear, "Oh, my God, they've shut Ellis Island." They said, "Yes, they've opened JFK and LAX and Miami International and O'Hare," and we could list all the other international airports. But it's just Americans have gotten lazy. We are good at slogans. Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. I want to know how good a smoking weed is supposed to taste. You know, this is the country where they not only made money marketing the pet rock, but a year later they made even more money selling the training manual for the pet rock. So I think that in the dumbing down of America, in the laziness of America, and in the conditioning of Americans to the soundbite, you know, I've been on Fox many times. I've been on all the networks many times. But Fox News drives me crazy. Well, I guess they all do it, though, with the breaking news. This is a Fox News alert. Gone. This happens at least 10 times an hour. I'm sure that you remember when, if they said this is breaking news or a news bulletin, you kind of sat down and grabbed the armrests of your chair because this was going to be serious.
Right.
How often do they have these news bulletins that are ridiculous?
Yeah, I agree. You know, another thing that a lot of people who support illegal immigration or advocate on behalf of it aren't considering is because our southern border is so open, I get the U.S. Border Patrol agents' reports.
The M3s?
And it used to be, you know, $5,000, $10,000 worth of drugs being found. It's in the millions now, and these reports come in daily.
But, you know, it's not just the Mexican border. I can't even tell you what was happening at JFK. You know what's remarkable? We've become so focused on the Mexican border, and I think it's done for a purpose. You know, when I was an immigration agent, here's something that you, and I hope my listeners are still out there listening, may find interesting. We were always, as agents, as special agents, at war with the Border Patrol, kind of. There was a dynamic tension because they would get first crack at the money very often the government cars we drove were the cars they had beaten up and then they sent into the interior. So if you got a car that had less than 100,000 miles on it, it was a rare day when I was a brand new agent. Then we started to get new cars, and that was unbelievable for us. But the Border Patrol always got the lion's share of the resources because it was an easy concept, and it was about this image. So you could have a member of Congress standing with a bunch of Border Patrol agents in uniform. It looked like they just hired a division for the Marine Corps. The special agents wore civilian clothing, and people didn't understand that immigration is not a crisis only along the border, but it permeates the whole country. We have over 5 million illegal aliens in our country who didn't run the border but came through ports of entry and then one way or the other went missing in America. So immigration really is a national problem, not just a Mexican border or a Canadian border problem. So we've always had this problem. But now you have this false argument, and I'm sure you and my listeners have heard this out there, where they will say, well, once the border is secure, then we can deal with the people who are here. That is one of the wackiest arguments imaginable. By virtue of the fact that we're dealing with people who are undocumented, which means they cannot prove who they are, number one, does it make sense to accord the highest privilege to a foreign national that a country can, which is citizenship, when that person's very entry into our country represented a violation of law? And to top it off, we don't know who they are and can't probably ever find out who they really are. This is crazy. But the argument we get are these false choices, and people fall for the false choice. Well, we can't arrest 12 million. Do you know how many people have said this to me when I've spoken at events? And by the way, if any of you folks are aware of opportunities for a speaking event, I do like to go around the country to meet folks and get the perspective out there. So if you're aware of that sort of thing, you can reach me through the website, michaelcutler.net. But it's a false argument. People say, well, what do you want to do with the 12 million who are here? First of all, it's not 12 million. It's probably 30 or 40 million. But I don't understand what that means. What do I want to do with them? They're here illegally. They need to go home. I don't want to do anything with them. You know,
right,
when I was on Lou Dobbs Tonight one day, I said something to Lou that really seemed to resonate. I said nobody would break into the amusement park if they couldn't get to go on the rides, and nobody stays at the amusement park at the end of the day when they turn off the lights and shut down the rides. Everyone heads home. And that's what needs to happen here. So you get this false choice. Well, if we can't deport them all, then we should make them into citizens. And I said, well, wait a moment. Probably fewer than 1% of motorists who are caught speeding get summonses. Because, you know, the cops don't stop most of the people who speed. I don't know how it is in your neck of the woods, but here in New York City, the highways turn into a mad dash very often. And maybe once every couple of weeks, you'll see one person pulled over for speeding. Usually, no one stops them. So that means that, let's say, 99.5% of all speeders get away with it. So does that, by the same reasoning, mean that we should now take down all the speed signs and no longer impose speed limits? Because what are you doing with the other people you're not stopping? Isn't that crazy?
It is, but the socialists have a different way of thinking, and it's not anything like the way we think. And if you shut off the benefits and services, you shut off the jobs, they will self-deport. And that's why what makes this November 2012 election so critical. As far as what I've been listening to, there are only two candidates who have strongly, consistently opposed illegal immigration, who believe in enforcing our laws, and that's Mitt Romney and Herman Cain. So people have to really pay attention to what these candidates are saying.
Oh, I agree with you completely, and I agree with the two that you've just named. And you know who drives me the craziest is Newt Gingrich, because Newt will stand there with a straight face and say to you, well, I was there back in 1986, so I know how screwed up the amnesty of 86 was. Okay, that's great. And then he says, we've got to secure the border. And then when you have someone who's been here for 20 years, well, if he really paid attention to what happened during the Reagan amnesty, and I was an agent at the time, we saw this up close and in person, you had everybody lying about when they got here. How do you know someone's been here for 20 years? Because you're going to have folks walking into an immigration office, they're going to lay down a rent receipt, they're going to lay down a utility bill, they're going to lay down a paycheck stub, and they're all going to be in different names. And they're going to say to you, well, when I moved into my apartment, the lights were on, so I simply paid the next utility bill, and that was in this woman's name, and you're looking at a guy. And then the gas was still on, And that was in a man's name, but his name is different from mine, but that's the gas bill. And then I had a telephone on the wall of my apartment, because back then we didn't have cell phones. And that phone number was in so-and-so's name, and I paid that bill with cash. And here's my receipt for the phone bill in a third name. And I had four jobs, and I used four different Social Security cards. So where do you even begin to figure out, number one, who this guy is, or when he got here, or how he got here, or why he got here? And
well, and
if Newt
and
Romney,
you
was, if Newt Romney, if Newt Gingrich was paying attention to what happened during the Reagan administration, he would have known that the fraud rate was in the stratosphere.
Oh, but illegal immigration is big business, and so for any presidential candidate to see the predicament that our country is in right now, to even suggest that they are going to support some form of amnesty is absolutely outrageous, and they should not even be considered.
I agree
and
with
Newt
you.
Gingrich,
I could
Gingrich
not agree with you more,
is one of them.
I could not agree with you more. Well, the reason I'm singling out Newt is because this is the guy that has the nerve, the chutzpah, to stand there and say, well, having worked for the president back then, I knew what happened. If he knew what happened, he knew that fraud was a huge issue. And by the way, some of the aliens who committed fraud went on to attack us in 1993 at the Trade Center.
That's right. Well, but you've got John Huntsman, you've got Rick Perry.
Oh.
Ron Paul has even changed on it to be a little bit pro-amnesty. Michelle Bachmann, her response the first time that Telemundo reporter asked the important two-part question, the number one was, what are you going to do to secure our border? The second part of that question was, what are you going to do about the illegal aliens in this country? And she hem-haws and she says, well, it depends on how long they've been here. Do they have a family and do they have a criminal record?
Yep. It sounds like Obama.
Yes, it does. But once Rick Perry started diving in the ratings after his pro-amnesty stand was exposed, she has now come out strongly enforcing our current federal immigration laws. Well, that makes me a little bit leery.
Makes me a lot leery. And by the way, did you notice something that Rick Perry said, and none of the candidates jumped on them? And he didn't say it at one debate, but he said it at least two debates. He said if you built a fence, people would have to go 800 miles out of the way to get to Brownsville.
No, I didn't catch that either.
Yes. I'll send you the email, Susan, because you have to see this. And I said, wait a minute. They're not talking about building the fence across ports of entry just to reinforce the areas between ports of entry so that people have to go through that port of entry to be inspected. He actually said you would have to go through whatever point it is, make a left turn and travel 800 miles out of the way. He said it at two separate debates. And someone needed to get up and paddle him for that.
That's right. Well, when he said that we were heartless if we didn't support college education for these illegal aliens, I think it's heartless. And I feel sorry for the Americans who are shouldering the burden, the financial burden, the lack of
services. I have
kids
in college now. I hate to tell you what it's costing me.
Yes.
I mean, this is remarkable. And you have children with learning disabilities who are American kids with autism and other learning problems who aren't getting the support, who aren't getting the programs they desperately need. And you know, it's a matter of paying a little now or a lot later. And if you can take a child with autism or other learning disabilities, maximize their potential through early intervention and appropriate programs, you can give them a far better life that will last them for as long as they live, and they can become contributors to America. Nobody wants to talk about that, but when it's an illegal alien, suddenly everyone comes out with the violins. I'm sorry, charity begins at home. Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy. And in fact, the IRS came out with a report in 2006 showing that unreported earnings by illegal aliens and their employers attributed to over $1 trillion. In lost taxes. And now who's making up for that loss in taxes?
Well,
we are.
Well, we're about to go off the air, but I got to tell you, it was a delight chatting with you. I'll have to speak with you off air. I'll call you up later on, but it's wonderful to have you join me. Folks, I thank all of you for joining us for this program tonight. It's been a wonderful program. Susan, I appreciate your call. Mr. Colorado, I appreciate your call. Hope all of you have a wonderful weekend. I look forward to seeing you again next week at the same place. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. This is Mike Cutler saying so long for now. So long, everybody.